In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today in a very wild and windy rainstorm that we're having on the coast of Massachusetts. This is where we live, and this is where I do my taping for the program. And Linda Myers, my producer and director, who lives in Omaha, is sitting in the other room, fiddling with the dials and doing everything that's involved in the mechanics of doing this radio program. Well, I've been talking all this week about a trip that my husband and I, my daughter and her husband and her oldest son, took to Ecuador in January of 1996. A most marvelous example of the leading of God when one doesn't really know what to do or how to do it. It's not so easy, you know, to make travel arrangements when you're going into the jungle and you want to visit old friends who are Indians who live scattered all through the jungle. But we had wonderful visits with both the Quechua Indians, with whom I spent 8 of my 11 years, and a wonderful visit with Steve Saint, son of Nate Saint, missionary pilot, who died in 1956. Steve and his wife have established a little village on the Curaray River, not very far from where the 5 men were speared to death. Steve named that little village Nimompadi for his dear Aunt Rachel. Rachel Saint went to be with the Lord in November of 1994, but she had been a faithful missionary with the Aucas, who are now called Waurani, for many years. We stayed with Steve and Jenny, and Walt and Lars and Valerie and her son Walter had very much wanted to take a real jungle trail trip. And they talked about this for a long time, and Steve had told us that if they wanted to see Giquita, who was one of the oldest, well, he was the oldest man in the tribe, and he was one who had had part in the killing of 5 missionaries, but he was now a Christian. Steve said, if you want to go and visit him, it's going to take you a 7-hour walk, and it is a rugged one. Well, I said, I won't be going along. Oh, yes, you got to go, Mama, said Val. We have to have a jungle trail experience again. And I said, I've been there. I've done that. I won't be going. You know, about 30 minutes is enough of that if you don't have to. So the day came, the second day that we were staying with Steve and Jenny, and off they went. Val, however, was a bit under the weather, and I felt that that was providential. She didn't go along, but the 4 men, Jesse, Steve's son, and an Indian guide, and Walt and Walter and Lars, went in the plane to a certain point where Steve let them off, and then they were to walk back home. Well, it was a rugged trip, and it was mud, and when they got back home, they were soaked. I mean, they looked like drowned rats, and they had mud up to the hips. They had gone over a very rugged trail. Lars described a part of it as being slanted, sort of on the edge of a slope, and in his Georgia accent, Lars said, I'm telling you, if you'd slipped on that trail, you wouldn't have stopped for a while. Well, they didn't go to the bottom of the ravine, but there were some ups and downs, and there were some severe ridges that they had to climb up and go down. And Walt, my son-in-law, who's a very big man, did a whole lot of falling down, he told us. He fell, he slipped, he stumbled. They had to go through streams, they had to climb up steep hills and down, and they had a full jungle experience, and it rained. I mean, it rained. You really don't know what rain is until you go to the rainforest. We always used to say we have 2 seasons in the year. We have the rainy season, and then we have the rainier season. And this was only the rainy season, so it wasn't really supposed to be too bad. But they came back and they had to admit that they had had a real jungle trail experience. In the evenings, all the Indians crowd into Steve and Jenny's house. And they sit in the hammocks and they sit on the floor and they stand around and they talk and they laugh and they talk and they talk and they talk. Now, when I lived with the Indians, they went to bed usually between 6:30 and 7. And they used to wake up between 2:30 or 3. But things have changed since civilization came in. And now that there's a house to go into, and a house that's always wide open to them any time of the day or night, in they came. And they wanted to sing for us. And they sang. And the school teacher, yes, they have a school now. They have Alka children, Waodani children, who are learning Spanish, who are learning to read and write both Spanish and Waodani. And they've learned to sing gospel songs. And so they sang for us, and they sang, and they sang, and they sang. And then they asked us to sing. And so, of course, we sang in English. Doesn't make any difference to them. They didn't understand it any more than we understood the words that they were singing. But we sang little choruses, some of them. We even sang some motion songs like Climb, Climb Up Sunshine Mountain. And we had a wonderful time. And they prayed, and they sat in the hammocks. And Steve and Ginny introduced each one to us. One of my dearest friends was Ipa. Those of you that have seen the video called Through Gates of Splendor, which tells the story of what happened on January the 8th, 1956, may remember that there was a friendly contact that the five missionaries had before they were speared to death. That contact was on January the 6th, 1956. Two women and one man. The women were a young woman named Gimari and an older woman named Mintaka. The man was nicknamed George by the missionaries. And George, as it turned out, as I learned later when I went to live with these people, he had two wives. And George was speared to death, or speared, I should say, not speared to death, but speared with the intention to kill, by his two brothers-in-law. And his two wives refused to dig a grave for him. When a person is in the bad graces of a tribe, they're not buried. And so George demanded that he be buried alive. Well, one of those two wives was my dear friend Ipa. She was a helper to me. She would carry water. She would wash dishes for me sometimes. She would even wash clothes. And there was dear Ipa sitting in the hammock in Steve Saint's house. I could hardly take it in. And then there was Omankiri and different ones who talked and talked and talked and tried to fill me in on everything that had happened since 1960 when I left that tribe. I had spent 2 years with them, and then I had gone back to work with the Quechuas. And a great deal had happened in the meantime. And so they were reminiscing. And there was Dabu, my favorite man, the sweetest man, one of the men who had no part in what happened to the five missionaries. And he reminded me of the time that he had been bitten on the lower lip by a snake. There's a picture of him in my book, The Savage, My Kinsman. And he remembered that, and he said, Gikari, ponimi, bitu, wa, kebita. Butu, yeah, yeah, wetabuba. Do you remember, Gikari? Do you remember how I cried? Do you remember how you helped me? And I, of course, I said, yes. Bunimupa, I remember. And he said, I'm a Christian now. I am a God believer. Wangonginganti, bunimunipa. Munitu, wa kemunipa. We live well now. We love God now. Thank you for coming. Can you imagine the experience of seeing those dear people and realizing what a long way they've come? Thank God for the missionaries, the different ones that have been there, and there have been quite a group. Kathy Peek and a German woman named Rosie Jung did the translation of the Bible into the Waodani language. A tremendous job. So will you pray for those Indians? Will you pray for them? The word is W-A-O-R-A-N-I. Waorani. It means the people. And that's the name they give themselves. They're no longer called Aucas, A-U-C-A, but Waorani. Pray for them. Pray that God will protect them from the evils that the white men are so prone to bring in. Pray that God will keep them faithful to the things that they have learned. And thank God for all the way that he led us. I think of how the children of Israel were commanded to remember all the way that the Lord their God had led them those 40 years in the wilderness. God doesn't want us to forget his faithfulness. It helps to keep a journal. I'm glad that I have a journal and I can look back and see the amazing faithfulness of God from a perspective so different and very often so much sharper than when you're in the midst of that situation itself. Our God will guide us even unto death. This God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. That's what the Bible says.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.